Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice which I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's one of our favorite little passages from the Gospels when we see the ambition of a mother and the zeal she has for her children. She loves her sons so much, she wishes the best for them, as any mother does for their children. And so she approaches in great, without any hesitation, she approaches the Lord, pays him homage, and then quickly asks that they be elevated up to sit at his right and his left at the kingdom. And this was a mistaken part, not only on the mother of the sons of Zebedee, but on all of the 12, and oftentimes on all of us. We get things mixed up about who Christ is and what kind of kingdom he's trying to form here on earth. At this stage in the Gospels, it's safe to say that none of the apostles really knew the true reality of who Jesus Christ was and what he was about here on earth. And so as they're following around this man that everyone's calling Messiah, their ambition drives them to want to share in his earthly power. They see him as a Messiah, is someone who delivers the people. It's a promised king. So for the Jews, they thought, here's the new David. Here's the new Messiah who's going to come. I think we don't always know that, but the Jews referred to many different people as Messiah. Anytime someone who would deliver the people from suffering or deliver the people from their struggles to bring about the kingdom of the Israelites, they were considered a Messiah. So early on, these disciples were a little understandably confused. But it points out for us a really important key I think we'll just draw on today, to check our own ambitions. You know, it used to be kind of a virtue in our culture here in the United States. Maybe we still view it as such. When you call someone ambitious, not in a derogatory way, but you say, "Man, that young lady's really got ambition." It means she's willing to work hard for what she wants. She's willing to make a sacrifice to get to where she needs to go. We have to check ourselves. What are we ambitious for? What are we seeking? There's three common altars of sacrifice that we can offer ourselves or our possessions to in our culture. Money, power, and fame. How many people get ambitious about having as much money as they can? How many of us become ambitious about how high we can We can rise in the ranks of our coworkers or in our friend groups or in the stature of our own families. We want to rise up that ladder. We have ambition. How many young people want to be famous? And they'll sacrifice friendships and a normal way of life to just pour themselves over this new media on Facebook, and they want to become stars, so they have to be attached to TikTok at all hours or make silly videos or pressure themselves into all these things. How many people are sacrificing themselves and their relationships to the altar of stardom? Wealth, power, and fame. If you ask anybody that's reached the heights of those things, what did it take to become the billionaire you are today? What did you have to sacrifice to become president of the United States? What did you let go of on your way to becoming the top music artist of 2022? Look at the trail behind them. What were the things they had to sacrifice? Oftentimes, it's relationships. Oftentimes, it's their faith. Oftentimes, it's those whom they love the most. They had to make really serious sacrifices in their life to achieve that high rank. I'm going to put in 40 extra hours this week and not see my wife because I want to get that promotion. What altar do we sacrifice to? And that's what Christ is getting at when he's speaking to James and John today. He says to all of us, can you drink from the chalice that I'm about to drink? Because the chalice of suffering that Christ is going to drink is going to be offered up at the altar of love, the altar of his kingdom. The altar where love is not sacrificed, relationships aren't forsaken, those who are least among us are not thrown aside. Instead, everything else, money, power, fame, those things are to be sacrificed for love. Christ came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Brothers and sisters, in here we all are living out our vocation, striving to, we're seeking to. And every single one of those vocations is ordered towards love. And I don't have to explain to many of you who have been married for so long the type of sacrifices that have to come in order to nurture and cultivate that love with your spouse. As a priest, I didn't get ordained for great fame. In fact, in a city like Portland, it's more like infamy, right? Any power or fame or money that I get is worthless if I'm not giving it all back or using it for the building up of the kingdom, if it's not coming from a place of love. So as we go out into the world today and we make sacrifices, because we do every day, ask yourself, what altar am I offering this sacrifice to? Am I giving this up for the right motives? Am I giving up love for the sake of something that the world offers me? Or am I giving up the world for something that God offers me?